Yeah! a higher church approach to worship when they're emphasizing the concept of reverence. And I believe that reverence is important in the worship of God, because we need to be confronted with the authority and the awe-inspiring sovereignty of God. As the church becomes more humanistic, it tends to lose reverence in its worship, its music. Let's not lose reverence. Let's maintain a high perspective of God. But at the same time, we should express love and recognize His love for us. As the church gets more faithless in form, that is, as the high church or even low church can do the same thing, as everything's done by rote, as the church becomes a hearing church and not a doing church, it will lose its love in its worship, its love for God, and its love for each other as well. So is it appropriate to laugh in church? This would be the application this morning. Would it be appropriate to laugh in church? You do it from time to time. I believe so. A rejoicing, a recognition of God's love, His immanence, His relationship with us. Could it be overdone? Yes. We could lose reverence for God in worship. Is it appropriate to clap in worship? Another application. We clap from time to time. When we bring somebody into the congregation, we clap. And my interpretation of clapping, and I think this is pretty universal. I've studied the history of clapping. And clapping is a form of hugging somebody, appreciating somebody, saying, "We love you. We appreciate you." This is why they clap when people perform music. It's appreciation and a love expressed for somebody. I believe it can be a welcome as well into the church. So these sorts of things, again, a little bit more low church, a little bit more love is expressed, but reverence is important as well. These concepts, I believe, are unified in the fatherhood of God. We revere our fathers. The Bible says you ought to honor your fathers. You ought to fear your fathers. So yes, fathers are to be revered, but they're also to be loved. I mean, isn't that a perfect combination? God is a father. He ought to be revered. We ought to have tremendous reverence in our worship. But we should also have love. Because do our children love us? I mean, my little five-year-old doesn't go, "Oh, there's Almighty Father, and I can't get near to Him." I hope she doesn't do that. So she comes and throws herself into my arms and says, "Hi, Daddy. I'm so glad to see you here today." See, our Father, if God is our Father, then we can revere Him and love Him at the same time. Worship ought to be that way. It's also unified in Jesus, who is both God and man. The transcendence is seen in the God nature, the immanence in Emmanuel, where Jesus is God with us, who took on the nature of man. All right, let me wrap up with this application on two kinds of laughter. Can we, as those who believe in God's sovereignty, laugh? Now, if it were a computer program determining our fate in some cold deterministic world, it would be hard to laugh. But since we have a relationship with God, I believe it is appropriate that we can laugh. Now, there are two kinds of laughter. There's disbelieving laughter and believing laughter. The disbelieving laughter offers a laugh of mocking disbelief in God and His law, and endearment towards sin and wickedness. Because laughter and humor expresses both endearment and attack or mockery. Laughter is both. So sinful laughter, ungodly laughter, is endearing towards sin and wickedness, and it is disbelieving of God and His law. That's why the ungodly love to joke about immodesty or adultery or drunkenness. Why? Because in the process of their dirty jokes, they are endearing themselves to sin and mocking God's law. I remember watching 10 seconds of a sitcom in 1995. That was about the last time I ever watched a sitcom. Picked up 10 seconds of it, or maybe it was 5 minutes. I don't know, a short period of it. And during the sitcom, this 10-year-old boy is getting into pornography, and it's just hysterical. Or is it? Wasn't funny to me at all. I didn't find anything funny about it. 10 seconds. Ungodly laughter. But believing humor is laughter that expresses a mocking satire of unbelief. Now remember, that's what Yitzchak is about. We make fun of unbelief. In the largest study of its kind, researchers recently found that having patients pray for heart bypass surgery patients had no effect on their recovery. Okay, scientists have finally determined that prayer is totally ineffectual. In fact, patients who knew they were being prayed for had a slightly higher rate of complications. The study had followed 1,800 patients at 6 medical centers. So we got lots of data here. Scientists have finally determined that prayer doesn't work. Well, we've got some things to say about that. While patients who knew that they were targets of the studies, intercessory prayer team actually had more postoperative complications. Dr. Benson, one of the people involved in the study, admitted he failed to prevent friends and relatives from praying for the no prayer control group. It really burns me up, he said, that we work so hard only to be undermined by an anonymous army of intellectual weaklings on their knees. There were several other problems with the study. The study failed to account for the fact that God is totally sovereign over the outcome of studies like this one. Said one scientist, it was really hard to prevent God from doing anything he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. Maybe the study just proved that it's really hard to manipulate God. Another problem, the scientists had the distinct feeling that a lot of guys were praying for the patients. Moreover, you can imagine how hard it was to prevent all the friends and relatives from praying for the no prayer control group. Also, another problem was that as the scientists were seeing people praying, they got this distinct feeling that they were praying to the wrong God. Dr. Benson said he would now seek $10 million in grants to explore whether fire can be called down from heaven to kindle a pile of wood. The control group's wood will be drenched in water to prevent combustion. All right. So, what is this? This is mocking unbelief. And y'all were laughing in church. There's also a laugh of delightful endearment to God. And we do this all the time in our home. And it's ironically related to this issue of prayer. Again, because y'all, I guess we told you the time that I lost my wallet way out in the boonies, coming home from Steamboat Springs, and we were looking all over the place and couldn't find it. And finally, Daniel, of all people, said, Dad, have you prayed yet? And me, being a pastor and everything, was thinking, I was thinking, that's not going to work. Since I'm a pastor, and my son is, I'm trying to be a good father here and a good example for the children, I said, okay, we'll pray about it. Dear Lord, help us find the wallet. Amen. And we get home, and we had a message on the answering machine that came just minutes after that prayer. I was traveling along the highway at about 75 miles per hour, and I had to see something black on the side of the freeway, and I stopped and drove back, and I found it, and it was your wallet. Now, we continue to drive 70 miles an hour and try to identify black objects on the side of the road just to see if it can be done, you know. But he told me, I have a knack for finding things on the side of a highway. And I was thinking, what are the odds of having a guy having a knack to find things on the side of a highway, finding something 2 minutes after I pray, is like kind of working out all the details. We have kept that message on our answering machine. I think it's still there. After what, a year and a half. It's been a year and a half. It's the one message we've kept day in and day out. Why? Because we like to laugh. Why can we laugh? Because we have cried. The Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall laugh. We have cried. You can laugh if you have cried. If you have cried over your sins, and you have come to Jesus and received His salvation, you can laugh. And moreover, the Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 9:7, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts your works. Why can we laugh? Because God has accepted our works by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are justified. That is why we can laugh. Did you get it? Did you get it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for each cock. Thank you, dear Father, that we can laugh. Sometimes we do laugh in disbelief, as Sarah did. But, oh God, increase our faith. Enable us to see what you're doing behind the scenes. Give us the faith to at least acknowledge that Jesus died and is now risen from the dead and on the right hand of the Father. Help us to see it, O God, and help us to laugh. Help us to laugh knowing that you are a good God and you pull it out in the end. You always do. Oh God, increase our faith this day. In Jesus' name, amen.